It's 6 October already, imagine that. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Wednesday CG Report. The death shot. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, I think this is an important report today. I think that it's one of those things that you should probably stay through to the end. It's almost all COVID. I'm sorry, Burke, you can sign off now. I know you don't want to hear about that. But there's just a lot going on in the world concerning the COVID shot and what's going on. And it all ties in to what's coming in the end times. I'm certain of that. But we're going to start with the Washington Standard. Army doctor and aerospace medicine specialist, Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, calls on Pentagon to ground all pilots that have taken COVID shots. Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, who is an Army doctor and aerospace medicine specialist, provided an affidavit in which she recommends the Secretary of Defense to ground all pilots that have received the COVID shots. Before we go on, it was quite some time ago that they had a lot of British airline pilots all die at the same time after taking their shots. And I think the reason why at the time, I don't specifically remember, but I think it was because of the altitude changes or something. But we haven't heard any more about that. I'm not sure why, if they're hiding it or if they got that problem resolved or whatever. But this is going along with the same thought. This lady is recommending that all military pilots that have gotten the COVID shot be grounded. Now, before I go on, also, I want to tell you that she gave a giant list of all of her qualifications, who she is, what she's doing, why she's doing it. I cut all of that out. I'm just going to give you the conclusion after her introduction. Okay? It's very long, but you'll get the idea of her conclusion. All the other stuff is just legal stuff. It's medical stuff. It's important stuff that if you want to see it, just go to that article. Army doctor and aerospace medicine specialist Teresa Long calls on Pentagon to ground all pilots that have taken COVID shots. So we'll go on from there right now. One, I make this affidavit as a whistleblower under the Military Whistleblower Protection Act, Title 10 U.S.C. 1034, in support of the above referenced motion as expert testimony in support thereof. Now, she's done this for a purpose. She's putting this out there, but she's saying I'm a whistleblower, and therefore she's protecting herself. I don't know if she's going to be protected or not, but this is how you do things in the military. You openly expose something by using the appropriate U.S. code, the title, etc. You document that, and then you come forth with your evidence, and you're supposed to be protected. Once again, the way they're treating the military, she may get court-martialed and shot in front of a firing squad, for all I know, but she's doing the proper thing by giving her case. Now, I'm going to skip from point one, which was that right there, down to point 39, her conclusion. 39. The subject matter of this motion for a preliminary injunction and its devastating effects on members of the military compel me to conclude and conduct accordingly as follows. A. None of the ordered emergency use COVID-19 vaccines can or will provide better immunity than infection-recovered person. B. All three of the EUA COVID-19 vaccines, Comirnaty is not available. I've talked about that before. I'll stop right there and tell you, though, in case you don't know this. Comirnaty is the FDA-approved vaccine. It has never been released in the United States of America. Every single vaccine that is administered in the United States of America is not approved by the FDA. And they're doing this to protect the people in Big Pharma. If they're approved, then they can be sued for giving something out that has been approved, that is defective and is harming people's bodies. Every single vial of vaccine that has been administered and that continues to be administered in the United States of America is EUA. It is not an approved FDA vaccine. And she acknowledges that here under the Whistleblower Protection Program. Comirnaty is not available. In the age group and fitness level of my patients are more risky, harmful, and dangerous than having no vaccine at all, whether a person is COVID recovered or facing a COVID-19 infection. Direct evidence exists and suggests that all persons who have received a COVID-19 vaccine are damaged in their cardiovascular system in an irreparable and irrevocable manner. Due to the spike protein production that is engineered in the user's genome, Each such recipient of the COVID-19 vaccines already has microclots in their cardiovascular system that present a danger to their health and safety. E, that such microclots over time will become bigger clots by the very nature of the shape and composition of the spike proteins being produced, and said proteins are found throughout the user's body, including the brain. F, that at the initial stage of this damage, the microclots can only be discovered by a biopsy or magnetic resonance image, MRI scan. G, that due to the fact that there is no functional myocardial screening currently being conducted, it is my professional opinion that substantial foreseen risks currently exist which require proper screening of all flight crews. H, that by virtue of their occupations, said flight crews present extraordinary risks to themselves and others given the equipment they operate, munitions carried thereon, and areas of operation in close proximity to populated areas. I, that without any current screening procedures in place, including any aero message, meaning flight surgeon notice, relating to this demonstrable and identifiable risk, I must and I will therefore ground all active flight personnel who receive the vaccinations until such time as the causation of these serious systemic health risks can be more fully and adequately assessed. J, that based on the DOD's own protocols and studies, the only two valuable methodologies to adequately assess the risk are through MRI imaging or cardiobiopsy, which must be carried out. K, that in accordance with the foregoing, I hereby recommend to the Secretary of Defense that all pilots, crew, and flight personnel in the military service who required hospitalization from injection or received any COVID-19 vaccination be grounded similarly for further dispositive assessment. L, that this court should grant an immediate injunction to stop the further harm to all military personnel to protect the health and safety of our active duty, reservists, and National Guard troops. This is a really important thing that has come out. This lady has put her foot forward in the United States military to say that what has been injected into people's bodies is going to be damaging to them, not just now, but into the future, and that she wants every one of them grounded. That's an amazing thing to consider. It's also important to understand that I don't think our administration cares diddly, because he wants our military weakened. I firmly believe that. He wants the military of the United States to be so weakened that we are taken over by his allies in China. I believe that with all of my heart. I can see no other reason why they are doing what they are doing outside of that. From LifeSight News. Okay, before I read this next article, I want to give you some background. On Sunday, we talked about the number of people that have died according to the CDC's own site, the VAERS reporting site. The CDC said, I believe it was 8,914 people had died from COVID shots since December. And we did the calculation. It comes out to an average of 28 people a day that have died from the COVID death shot. Okay, now, that number I said on Sunday is probably much higher, and I was going to give a report on that, and I've got it for you now. I want to read this to you, and I want you to try to understand what's going on. Nearly 50,000 Medicare patients, only Medicare, nearly 50,000 Medicare patients died soon after getting COVID shot. A whistleblower has provided government data documenting 48,465 deaths within 14 days of COVID-19 vaccination among Medicare patients alone. I could see a benefit for this. Get rid of the old people and you don't have to pay their Medicare anymore. You can take all that money and funnel it off to other people that don't do anything. Okay, so we'll go on. The announcement was made by the Ohio-based attorney Thomas Rentz. In his presentation, Rentz expressed his appreciation for whistleblowers who are coming forward to provide the public with such important information from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Service. He described the CMS database as the largest available in the United States for the study of COVID-19 trends because it contains the data of approximately 59.4 million Medicare beneficiaries. One slide showed that the number of persons who died within 14 days of a COVID-19 vaccine equated to 19,400 for those younger than 81 years old and 28,065 for those 81 and over, totaling 48,465 deaths. This is raw data. There's no analysis, he acknowledges. And he emphasized, these death numbers are from less than 20% of the U.S. population. Do you want to know why 14 days is important? Because if you die within 14 days of getting your vaccine, you're not considered vaccinated. According to the CDC, one is not considered as being vaccinated until 14 days after their completed injection regimen. So if you die from a vaccine within 14 days, you're not considered vaccinated, and so they don't have to count that in their numbers, and they don't have to tell you how damaging these shots actually are. We'll go on. Raising the question of whether government authorities have been classifying these fatalities as something other than vaccination-related deaths. So I did the numbers. You take the 48,465 plus the 8,914, I think it was, on Sunday. That's 287 days from December until 1 October. That's 197.3 people die every single day from having the COVID shot, if this is correct. As he did admit, though, he said this is raw data. There's no analysis. But why else would that many people, 48,465 people, die within 14 days of getting a vaccine, and the CDC doesn't provide any other data beyond that? They are killing people with this death shot. They are literally killing human beings, 197.3 every single day because of this shot, which is ineffective, by the way. It's an ineffective shot. If you want to read the article, go to https://rentzlaw.com, rentzlaw.com. And then go to COVID Pfizer whistleblower data, and it'll come up. Okay, you can read the article yourself. I just took out what I needed from there, from Big League Politics. Australian public health official admits that 6 of 7 recent COVID-19 deaths had been vaccinated. I watched the video to make sure that it was a true video. She stood there and she gave that information. It is correct. An Australian government official from the province of New South Wales has admitted that 6 of 7 recent COVID-19 deaths came from the vaccinated. As the minister said, tragically today, we announced the death of 7 people who had lost their lives to COVID-19. 4 women and 3 men. One person was in their 40s, one person in their 50s, 2 people in their 70s, 2 people in their 80s, and one person who was in their 90s. All of those individuals had underlying health conditions. One person was not vaccinated. 3 people had received 1 dose of the COVID vaccine, and 3 people had received 2 doses of the COVID vaccine. From the expose, fully vaccinated account for a huge 74% of COVID-19 deaths in the UK summer wave, according to the latest Public Health England report. Why haven't you seen this? Because they've been taking the numbers and they've been obscuring them. And this article, the expose, lays them all out for you, all of the numbers. I'm going to skip the numbers. If you want to see it, you can go have them, but I'm going to give you the conclusion at the end. The latest Public Health England technical briefing on COVID-19 variants of concern has been published, and it reveals that up to the 12th September 2021, 74% of all alleged COVID-19 deaths since August 2nd, 2021 have been among the vaccinated population. 74%, confirming the UK is currently experiencing a pandemic of the vaccinated. The report, which is the 23rd update to be released, suggests at first glance that the vast majority of COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are among the unvaccinated population. However, this is because the total numbers presented in the report have been collected from as far back as February 1st of 2021. We are able to see who is really getting infected, hospitalized, and sadly losing their lives in the third wave of COVID-19 to hit the UK, which is strangely occurring in summer. The full article, as I said, has all of the numbers and details. This may be surprising to some, but it shouldn't be, because the current vaccines on offer do not prevent infection or transmission. Even the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, SAGE, have admitted this in a recently published document, and they cite the document. They have a link that you can go and read the document, in which they said research should now concentrate on producing a vaccine that prevents transmission and infection due to the current vaccines not preventing infection in most people. So why are they giving these vaccines if they don't do anything? SAGE did, however, state that they feel that the current vaccines are excellent for reducing the risk of hospital admission. But does the Public Health England data support that feeling? The answer is no. And they go on to demonstrate this through the end of the article. They go and they give you all of the numbers, what's going on and why, and they're using numbers that don't even apply because people weren't even vaccinated at the time, saying, see, all these dead people, when it's not them, it's the vaccinated that have died. They did a great job of detailing all of that. Next article from the expose, investigation. Deaths among teenagers have increased by 47% in the UK since they started getting the COVID-19 vaccine, according to official ONS data. We decided to take a look at the official Office for National Statistics data on deaths registered weekly to see if there was an uptick in deaths in people aged between 15 and 19 following the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine to this age group. The 2020 edition of Deaths Registered Weekly in England and Wales, which can be downloaded here, and they provide the link, and accessed on the ONS website here, they provide the link, shows that between the week ending 26 June and the week ending 18th September 2020, a total of 148 deaths occurred among 15 to 19-year-olds, whereas the 2021 editions of Deaths Registered Weekly in England and Wales, which can now be downloaded here and accessed on the ONS website here, shows that between the week ending 25th June 2021 and the week ending September 17th, 2021, a total of 217 deaths occurred among 15 to 19-year-olds. This shows that the number of deaths between June 19th, 2021 and September 17th, 2021 among teens age 15 and over were 47% higher than the number of deaths in this age group during the same period in 2020. And the increase in deaths began at precisely the same time teens started receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. The same 2021 ONS data set shows that since teens started getting the COVID-19 vaccine, there has been at least one COVID-19 related death recorded in 7 of the 13 weeks between June 19th and September 17, 2021, a total of 8 deaths in this time frame. Yet in the 15 weeks prior, teens over the age of 15 receiving the COVID-19 vaccine, just a single death was recorded associated with COVID-19 among this group. Correlation does not equal causation, and they admit that, but it is extremely concerning to see that deaths have increased by 47% among teens over the age of 15, and COVID-19 deaths have also increased among this age group since they started receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. And it is perhaps one coincidence too far. The problem we now face is that approximately 3 million children over the age of 12 are currently being offered the COVID-19 vaccine. This is in the UK only, with many reportedly already having had it since the chief medical officer, Chris Whitty, overruled the JCVI and advised the UK government to offer all children over 12 the COVID-19 injection on September 13th, 2021. It remains to be seen what the consequences of this will be, but we will keep you updated so that you are able to hold people such as Professor Chris Whitty to account. For now, do what you can to save our children. From The Blaze. Now, this goes back to June 21st. Okay, I want to read this to you so you have a background of what I'm going to talk about next. This is a background article from June 21st. Horowitz. Merck rejects ivermectin for COVID treatment after getting $1.2 billion government contract for expensive, unproven drug. For those trying to follow the science and the law, it's been impossible to ascertain a modicum of consistency in the government's COVID response. However, when you follow the money, everything officials are doing, as well as what they are not doing, makes perfect sense. The same government that has the power to use COVID to shut down our lives and our breathing also has the power to determine to which pharmaceutical company it will send billions of tax dollars. A decision that is governed 100% by money and politics, not by sound medicine. We already understand why the vaccine companies have been funding a war against cheap, effective therapeutics such as hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. But many have wondered why Merck would oppose a drug that the company itself has made for many years. I mean, they make ivermectin, so why on earth would they say, don't use ivermectin? On February 4th, Merck came out with a shocking statement warning against the use of ivermectin to treat COVID. The statement claimed there was no scientific basis for a potential therapeutic effect against COVID-19 from preclinical studies and that there was a concerning lack of safety data in the majority of studies. This was quite a bizarre assertion given that 59 studies, including 30 randomized controlled trials, have shown the drug to be extremely effective at all stages of the virus. The statement regarding safety concerns was even more ludicrous, given that nearly 4 billion doses of this drug have been dispensed for parasitic ailments. It won the Nobel Prize, and it is listed among the World Health Organization's most essential drugs. There's no logical reason why someone would somehow begin experiencing dangerous side effects if he happens to use ivermectin for COVID instead of for scabies or for river blindness. Nonetheless, Merck's statement served as a strong blow to the use of ivermectin, because Merck was a large dispenser of this drug. After all, why would the company dump its own drug? Well, now we have an answer. On June 9th, as I said, this article came from June 21st. On June 9th, Merck announced that it had entered into a procurement agreement. Merck will receive approximately $1.2 billion to supply approximately 1.7 million courses of molnupiravir to the U.S. government. Molnupiravir is a new drug Merck is currently evaluating in a phase 3 clinical trial to serve as the wonder drug to treat COVID. The estimated cost of the drug per treatment is $700. So now we can understand why the company would swap out its own drug that it has already proven safe and effective for something new and experimental. Without the government sending a penny to Merck, I can buy a life-saving dose of ivermectin for just $26 through GoodRx. So let's see. This is $26. This works. This is $700, and this hasn't been proved to work. Which one do you think the government wants to buy, and why do you think they want to do it? Okay, next article from Vox. That last article set up this one. Why Merck's COVID-19 pill, molnupiravir, could be so important. This is from Friday. The pharmaceutical giant Merck reported good news for people sick with COVID-19. Its antiviral drug, molnupiravir, reduced the risk of hospitalization and death in at-risk patients by 50. A new and effective COVID-19 treatment, if approved by health regulators, could be a versatile tool for doctors to treat COVID-19 patients and could ultimately save lives. While there are a number of treatments for COVID-19 on the market, many of them are expensive, difficult to administer, not widely available, or marginally effective. Meanwhile, treatments that have little evidence behind them, guess what they're going to talk about next? Like the anti-parasitic drug ivermectin and the anti-malaria drug hydroxychloroquine, have gained traction in some circles, kind of making it look like there's a bunch of deviants out there that are taking this stuff, maybe to get high on or something. Molnupiravir, originally developed to treat influenza, could solve many of these challenges. Merck and its collaborator, Ridgeback Biotherapeutics, said they will apply for an emergency use authorization. You've heard that before, haven't you? Emergency use authorization for this drug from the FDA. Which would allow doctors to begin prescribing it for patients. The federal government is already planning for its potential approval. It is committed to buying 1.7 million courses of molnupiravir treatments for $1.2 billion, about $700 per course. So that guy back in June got exactly what they're saying they're doing right now. And production of the drug has already begun. Ridgeback Biotherapeutics and Merck expect to make 10 million courses. Let's see, if they're getting 1.2 billion now, and they're going to make 10 million courses, then that means they're going to make about $10 billion or more. Everybody see what's going on here? 10 million courses of the drug by the end of the year. They're planning on the government buying all of this stuff. $700 a course for a drug that is not even proven effective, because it's a lot more than ivermectin, which is proven effective, which they make, which they have purposefully been downplaying. They don't care about your life at all. They do not care about your life at all. They want you to take the death shot, and then you're going to get COVID anyway, and then you're going to need this crummy drug right here, because that's what the government is going to offer you, and they're going to take that money and give it to their buddies on the left so that they can keep their machine going. That is what's going on right here. It says, but it will still be weeks or months before most people will have access to the little brown pill. And even when it is available, there may still be holdouts resistant to getting treated for the disease. I don't think anybody's resistant. They're taking the right stuff, and they don't want them to take the right stuff. From Zero Hedge, India's ivermectin blackout. I've reported on this a couple times. They have an article on it. They say the secret revealed. What's the secret? $2.65 per day to treat. Next headline, OANN. India government declares this week most populated state officially COVID-free after widespread use of ivermectin. Now imagine that. They were told, the whole world knew this, that India was going to have millions of dead people lying in the streets. They were going to be slaughtered by this disease that had gone in there. And all of a sudden, they have stopped talking about India completely. Why? Ivermectin, $2.65 a day. Go through the whole term. It's going to be what? We'll say 10 days. That's like that guy said, I can buy a life-saving supply for $29. It's about the same in India. This is what's going on. We are being led down the primrose path by a bunch of people that have an agenda. It is to destroy the foundational underpinnings of the United States of America and at the same time get really rich in the process. From U.S. News, woman who survived 1918 flu, World War, succumbs to COVID. This year, during a visit in September, Doreen noticed her mother was coughing. She knew her mother's caretaker had been feeling sick after her husband returned from a wedding in Idaho. All three had been vaccinated. But as she drove away, Doreen guessed that her mother had contracted COVID-19. She had such a strong heart that she remained alive for more than 24 hours after they removed the oxygen. Doreen said, I'm full of maybes, what I should have done with the ventilator, but it broke through three vaccinated people. That drug that they are putting in people's arms right now, the death shot, is killing people. It's literally killing people, and the government is not going to say a thing about it. It is absolutely destructive to human life, and the U.S. government doesn't care at all. From L.A. Mag, double-vaccinated Bridgerton Emmy winner passes away from COVID. UK-based hair and makeup artist Mark Pilcher, who took home the Creative Arts Emmy in mid-September for his work on season one of the massive Netflix hit Bridgerton, has passed away at age 53. Heck, he's younger than me. According to The Hollywood Reporter, he died of COVID-19 despite being double-vaccinated. Well, I guess his vaccine journey has ended. Gateway Pundit. Former Notre Dame professor who said, damn the unvaccinated, dies 2 weeks after receiving her third COVID shot. Whoops. A former Notre Dame professor who routinely attacked unvaccinated people as selfish passed away after she wasn't very selfish, was she? She was noble to give her life up in the cause of the government's agenda of reducing the population. Good for her. Notre Dame professor who routinely attacked unvaccinated people as selfish passed away after she received her third COVID vaccine. 67-year-old Karen Croak-Heiser received her first Pfizer COVID jab on January 13th, 2021. Just got my first dose of the vaccine. Never been happier to be old. Now let's get these vaccines rolling for everyone, she said. On April 9th, Heisler tweeted that she had zero side effects after receiving her second Pfizer jab. Earlier this month, Heiser tweeted she got her third jab. Just received my third COVID vaccine, she tweeted on September 7th. A week later, Heiser started to have complications and cursed the unvaccinated. Heiser said her cardiologist tried to admit her to the hospital, but there are no rooms because of COVID. About 2 weeks after her third COVID jab, Karen Croak Heisler croaked. Her vaccine journey didn't go so well. Mail Online. 498 children have been killed by COVID, the disease COVID, not the vaccine, since the pandemic. 498. Fewer than the number who die annually from car crashes and drownings, the CDC figures reveal. And guess what? Almost every single one of them had a known condition that caused the death along with the COVID. They would have died from the flu anyway. Only 498 children died of COVID. They want every single kid vaccinated, and we've got that many dying over in England alone, a country, how many people compared to the United States of America? What they should do is they should take children and no longer allow them in cars and no longer allow them to swim. That would save a lot more lives, according to the CDC data, than injecting them with the death shot. From GGM, illegal mass migration being used as virus bomb to disperse disease, says bioweapons specialist. Guess who said that first? Oh, I remember. Charlie Garrett did. What, a couple months ago? I said they are bringing these people through the southern border and they're sending them to red states so that our numbers get higher and so our governors look inefficient and they will get voted out. This is an attack against the Republican agenda, the Republican Party of the United States of America by these people. And now somebody else is saying the same thing. Good job, Charlie. Here we go. According to bioweapon specialists and intel agents, illegal mass migration is being used as a virus bomb to disperse disease. Fox host Laura Logan cited unnamed bioweapon specialists and intel agents who told her allowing migrants into the country is a typical way to launch a virus attack on your own country. The number of migrants seeking entry has surged this year, outpacing the government's ability to process and or deport people in a safe and timely fashion, which they don't want to do anyway. Migrants who are allowed into the United States do not receive a COVID test, nor do they receive a COVID vaccine in the event they are unvaccinated. Next article from the Gateway Pundit. This week, Democrats vote against COVID tests for illegal immigrants entering the United States. You would think that the same people who are for masking your kids and segregating society by vaccine status would be for illegal immigrants receiving a COVID test before being released. Wrong. Representative Marionette Miller Meeks, Republican from Iowa, introduced legislation that would have required migrants to have a negative COVID-19 test before being released from Customs and Border Protection detention. House Democrats voted against the legislation, and because they're in power, it won't happen, because they don't care that these people are coming in diseased. They care that they are being sent to Florida and retained in Texas and going to other red states where they will now get a majority and they will have their little communist agenda running your life. This is what they want. From USSA News, Australian police commissioner refuses to enforce vaccine passport mandate. Finally, some good news. And it's in one of the places that you would least expect it. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos coming out of Australia, but these people are being rounded up and beaten like common thugs for simply wanting to go out and have a walk with their wife and with their children or go to the store. It is appalling what's going on. But this cop here, this police commissioner, is not going to enforce their stupid laws. The police commissioner of New South Wales has refused to enforce a state's vaccine passport mandate, revealing that officers will not be checking people's vaccination status in restaurants, clubs, or bars. The government is preparing to pass a mandate that will ban all unvaccinated people from gaining entry to numerous venues up until at least December 1st, in a repeat of the segregation scheme that has been adopted in numerous Western countries. However, after questions began to swirl about whether businesses would be forced to impose the measures on customers, New South Wales Police Commissioner Mick Fuller made it clear that his officers wouldn't be on patrol. The role of police in terms of vaccine passports We will not be walking through restaurants, cafes, and pubs checking if people are double vaccinated. Good, because then they'd be just like the Stasi in East Germany. But we will certainly be assisting restaurant owners and shop owners if they are refusing entry to someone. We'll certainly respond to assist those people. Health Minister Brad Hazard asserted that it would be the police's job to enforce the measures, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. Unlike in some countries, businesses won't face fines if they allow unvaccinated people to enter, rendering the whole scheme rather pointless. Melbourne has been rocked by unruly protests since the start of last week after a construction workers' union demanded employees get the jab or lose their jobs. After construction workers staged a protest outside the union headquarters, the government announced it would be shutting down all work related to industry for 2 weeks as punishment. This led to further clashes between police and demonstrators, with riot cops and special units normally reserved for anti-terror operations unleashed on Australians. Meanwhile, New South Wales Health Chief Dr. Kerry Chant revealed the truth yesterday when she let slip that COVID lockdown measures will remain in place even if people take the vaccine. All they want is control. That's all they want, is to control the people that are under them. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about anything but their money and their control, their power over the people. From Reuters, Sydney's unvaccinated warned of social isolation when COVID-19 lockdown ends. Sydney residents who are not vaccinated against COVID-19 risk being barred from various social activities, even when they are freed from stay-at-home orders in December. New South Wales State Premier, I can't pronounce her last name, Barra Jilklian, I guess, warned, under a roadmap to exit lockdown in Australia's biggest city, unvaccinated people are already subject to delays in freedoms that will gradually be granted to inoculated residents between October 11th and December 1st. A lot of those inoculated residents won't make it that long, okay? Australia is pursuing a faster reopening through higher vaccination rates, despite persistent infections, largely in its two biggest cities of Sydney and Melbourne, along with the capital, Canberra. Both cities are in a weeks-long lockdown. You know, I've been in Florida. We had a lockdown that lasted about 18 minutes when this nonsense started. We have not locked down since. Everybody's walking around free. You don't see masks on people except liberals that are scared of, they don't have any hope in this life, so they're out there masking up and they are offended by people that didn't get their vaccination. But for the most part, we're living exactly the way we've always lived, and there's not some terrible thing going on. We had a couple people get COVID in here. We get people in here every year that had the flu. It's the same thing. This is absolutely appalling what's going on in Australia. And I'm glad to see this past week Australians standing up for their rights. We'll continue. The Delta-fueled outbreak has divided state and territory leaders, with some presiding over virus-free parts of the country, indicating that they will defy a federal plan to reopen internal borders once the adult population reaches 80% vaccination expected in November. The national vaccine rate is currently around 52%. Now, I have a lot more Australians dying in the next couple months if they get up to 80%, and it won't be because of COVID. It'll be because of the death shot. From Zero Hedge, Biden's new plan to tackle rising food prices. According to Biden's underlings, rising food prices in America are the direct result of pandemic profiteering by the four large meat processing companies. Per the White House blog, as we restart the world's largest economy, I'd like to tell you that it was restarted by Donald Trump last year. Remember, they said there would be no V and there was a giant V. Okay, this has nothing to do with what you're about to hear. As we restart the world's largest economy and make great strides in the economic recovery, the Biden-Harris administration is committed to restarting right for the American people, consumers and producers alike, by transforming the food system. This is a pivotal moment of opportunity to build back a better food system that is fair, competitive, distributed, and resilient. Before the COVID pandemic, was there ever any problem with any food distribution anywhere in America in your life? Do you remember that? I don't. I mean, I survived through Jimmy Carter, for crying out loud, and I remember Mom taking us to the store and there was food on the shelves. There has never been a problem. And all of a sudden, there's a problem and we've got to fix it. Big government. Hence, Biden proposes to tackle the meat processing industry head on. He plans to funnel $1.4 billion in COVID-19 pandemic stimulus money to small meat producers and workers. He promises to crack down on illegal price fixing. He's also formed a new White House Competition Council to make the food system fairer and more equitable. It's never had a problem until he came to office. Without question, anyone with half their marbles already knows how this story ends. Government intervention discourages production, inflates prices, and if pushed far enough, which it will be, leads to empty shelves at the supermarket. After that, it leads to empty stomachs and the social chaos that follows. It's planned, folks. This is all planned. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It's just writing on the wall. But good news from the Superior Word News Service. Jesus is still on the throne, and the rapture is a week closer since our last midweek report. Such is the world we live in. So, from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.